Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth? It will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds
of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Shalom.
Hey, shalom,
grace
shalom,
and peace,
family.
Grace and peace.
Grace and peace, Israel. Grace and peace. Hallelujah. Welcome again to it. Amen. Welcome again to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters of Job Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel, here with my beautiful rib, Rhea Israel. Shalom, Israelites.
Shalom.
Tonight, you have the Sunday night edition of the Sounds of Living Waters, Fellowship of the Spirit.
Amen.
Our brother hosting, Bob Masalusi.
Paul.
Paul.
Yes, thank
you,
sister.
Forgive me, brother Paul. I got my brother Bob on the brain. no doubt, no doubt. Prayers all up for our brother Bob. Keep him running up there. So getting back to the precept tonight, the power of prayer, the power of that thing. Just talking about that. The power of prayer. Yeah. So with that being said, we turn this over to our brother, Paul.
Thank you, Brother Amen. Joe. Grace and peace in Jesus, and welcome everyone to Sounds of Living Waters radio blog. We're going to go ahead and open up in prayer. So if you sisters would, please cover your heads. And you brothers, please uncover your heads. And if you would like, join us in facing the temple in Jerusalem. Oh, great and merciful God, we thank you for this opportunity to gather. Great God of Israel, we ask, as always, Lord, that you keep your merciful and ever-loving hedge about us and all your saints. And Father, we just come together and we seek knowledge and we seek wisdom and understanding. We ask that you open our eyes and ears, Lord, that you give us what you would have us see, and at the very least, Father, if you would edify us, we thank you in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus. To all who hear my voice and agree, in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers, welcome to the Sunday night edition of Sound of Living Waters radio blog. Brother Paul from the Fellowship of the Spirit. And I'm not going to apologize for what appears to be a redundant precept. We've been dealing the past couple of weeks with prayer and meditation, and we've actually dealt with a particular method of prayer and meditation called two-way prayer. And I thought that I was going to be done with the precept of prayer. And I took it to prayer. I had a couple of precepts picked. I took it in my morning meditation to our Heavenly Father, and He told me, in not too many words, the power of prayer. So I got in morning meditation to teach this lesson, the the power of prayer. And it's in the lesson, it gives several examples of the power of prayer and of some of our forefathers and some of our brethren that have prayed and had their prayers answered. So for whatever reason the Lord wanted to have this particular precept again tonight, we're going to go ahead and deal with it. And again, the title of tonight's lesson, The Power of Prayer. And we're going to start this off in Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. The power of prayer. Sisters and brothers, a lot of us don't realize that there is real power in prayer. It is one of the things we're going to read here. This is one of the things that make up the whole armor of God. Praying. And there's different instances that the Lord gave us to pray. There's different times he told us to pray. There's different reasons that we can pray. And we're going to cover some of what the Bible talks about today. And we're going to give some examples of the power in prayer. I remember when I first came into being a Bible Christian, and we would gather together quite often, and every Friday night we had a Bible study. And this is before I was introduced to any of the classes. This was in a gentleman's basement. And every Friday night we'd have a Bible study, and then we just, before everyone went home, we would pray. And we would just open up, and we'd sit in a circle, and we'd just open up. One person would open up that week, and we would just, as the Spirit moved us, we would throw up petitions. And we always ended up throwing up petitions for a particular person or a certain situation or whatever. And before we would gather the next week, we would always either run into someone or have a particular portion of a petition that we prayed about that Friday night would be answered before we gathered the next Friday. And it was a group of people, about seven or eight of us, that were walking to the best of our ability, perfect, before God. And we all had a very healthy prayer life at that particular time. I don't know where some of their habits are now. But when praying for situations and others, we would always have a prayer answer. Not all our prayers. Of course, God answers prayers in his time. But we always, without a doubt, had a prayer answered. And that's power. That's power with prayer. The Lord says that those of us that keep his commandments, we have power with God and with men. And the way that we hone that power is through prayer. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And, brother, let's start this lesson off in verse 10. Ephesians 6, and when you're ready, brother, verse 10. Go ahead.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And this whole armor is about his word, about coming to see and understand what righteousness is. Practice that in all your affairs, what you see as righteousness in God's sight. And then part of that is the whole armor. Of the whole armor is prayer. Skip to 18 and continue, brother. Go ahead.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That means you have to be walking in the Spirit. In other words, you're keeping God's commandments. You're walking pleasing in his eyes. Go ahead, brother.
And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
And we're always throwing up prayers and supplications for the saints. We're always praying for each other. Let's go to Isaiah, the first chapter. We understand we have a couple of requirements for prayer to be heard and prayer to be met. We understand that. We know that the Lord does not hear the prayers of the wicked. Let's take a look at this a little bit. Isaiah, the first chapter. Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1. And this is the Lord dealing with Judah in Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah. Isaiah 1, and let's pick it up, brother, in verse 15. 1 and 15. And this is, in the days of Uzziah and Jotham and Ahaz and Hezekiah, the kings of Judah. 1 and 15. Go ahead, brother.
And when you spread forth your hand, I will hide mine eye from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear it. Your hands are full of blood.
Because they weren't walking pleasing in God's sight. They weren't keeping his commandments, statutes, and his laws, and his judgments. Go ahead, brother.
wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil.
First thing you got to do, repent. Stop doing the evil and start walking straight. Go ahead.
Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool.
Go ahead, brother.
If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land.
If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Go ahead.
But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it.
But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And we know that he's close to the eyes of to the prayers of the righteous, but he doesn't hear the prayers of the wicked. But let's go confirm this. Proverbs, the 15th chapter. Proverbs, the 15th chapter. Proverbs 15, and brother, one verse, verse 29. Proverbs 15, and one verse, brother, 29. When you get there, go ahead.
And the Lord is far, or the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous.
The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. And we understand that. We understand that. We are servants. We are what the book calls saints, what the Bible calls saints of the Most High God. Let's go to Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians, the first chapter. There are certain ways that the Lord would have us pray. There are certain things that the Lord would have us do when we pray. And we know that to be a servant of the Most High God is what is known as being altruistic. Okay? And that is basically an unselfish concern for others. An unselfish concern for others. Colossians 1. And brother, let's pick this up at verse 2. 1 and verse 2. Go ahead.
To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you.
We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Paul's telling them that they're praying always for these brothers in Colossae. Go ahead, brother.
Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints.
And we do this since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. You mean they weren't fervently praying for them before then? No, they weren't. They might have been throwing up some prayers for them if there was some kind of catastrophe or some kind of big drama going on. Oh, Lord, he's the suffering. Use it as a calling or whatever. But until they became saints, until they took hold of the faith and started walking pleasing in God's sight, they weren't praying. But as soon as they found out that they took hold of that faith, they were praying always for these brothers. Praying always. With all prayers and supplications for the saints. Because this is part of our armor, sisters and brothers. Not only us praying for things for ourselves and how we can be of help to others, but us praying for others. Because the Lord hears the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Go ahead and continue, brother.
For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel.
Wherein you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. That's where they got their faith. They heard it from the word. They were taught by someone with some understanding. And as soon as they took hold of that and became saints, Paul and every and all the brethren were praying always for them. Let's look at why we pray. Let's look at certain situations of why we might pray. Let's go to James, the fifth chapter. James, the fifth chapter. James 5. James 5. And brother, pick it up at verse 13. 5 and 13. Go ahead.
Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray.
Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. So when we're afflicted, we pray. Go ahead.
Is any merry? Let him sing songs.
Uh-huh. We know we're praying always. We understand that. Go ahead, brother.
Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord.
And not only if you're afflicted, you can pray. But if you're sick, you can call for the elders of the church and let them pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick.
The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Whose prayer? The prayer of the person that's ill. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. He's showing great faith and calling for the elders of the church to let them know what's ailing him so that they can pray over him. It's his prayer that's going to save the sick. Go ahead.
And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him.
And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Because at this particular time, when he's bringing his affliction to the elders, he's telling the elders why he's requesting to get prayed over. Verse 16, go ahead, brother.
Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So you've got righteous people, hopefully the righteous elders. You're the one that's sick. You're calling what at least hopefully they're given the appearance of being righteous elders, and you're calling for them to pray over you, and it's your prayer as well as their prayer that is being heard, because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, but it's the prayer of the faith of the one that's sick that shall save him. So now we're praying when we're sick. Let's go to Isaiah, the 38th chapter. See, most times when we deal with prayer, we talk about do's and don'ts. We talk about a method. We talk about how we have to walk in order to hear our prayers heard and all this. Let's look at some examples of some righteous brethren whose prayers were heard. And how do you think these prayers were heard? Of course, you had prophets that were there. And some of these examples we're going to see, the Lord actually used the Holy Spirit to go and to talk with some of these individuals. But it was all done through prayer and meditation. The Lord even told Aaron and Miriam, said the prophets and all of them and all the seers and all of them, I come to them in dreams and visions. So that's how, in prayer and meditation, Moses, he said, my servant is not so. I deal with him face to face. But I guarantee you there's nobody that I'm talking to and there's nobody that's going to listen to this had that same privilege or has that same privilege of dealing with the Lord face to face. Not in this day and age. No, sir. No, ma'am. So how we get our revelations is through prayer and meditation. But let's look at the prayer of the sick. Isaiah 38, and brother, pick it up in verse 1 and go ahead.
Isaiah 38,
yes, sir.
In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death.
So you got the king of Israel, Hezekiah, and he's sick unto death. In other words, he's dying. He's on his deathbed. Go ahead, brother.
And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, said unto him, and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live.
So now he sends the prophet Isaiah to tell him, listen, man, you got to set your stuff in order here. The Lord's getting ready to lay you down. You're going to sleep with your fathers. Go ahead, brother.
Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord.
And Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and he prayed unto the Lord. And if you read about Hezekiah, he was righteous in God's eyes. Go ahead, brother.
And said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore.
He wasn't ready to go. Whatever he had something left that he wanted to do, or maybe he just didn't want to die yet. Maybe he had young children he wanted to raise, or whatever. He wasn't ready to go. And this was something that was grievous to him. He didn't want to die now. Go ahead, brother.
Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer and have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years.
So the Lord heard Hezekiah's prayer. He's a righteous brother. The Lord heard his prayer and answered it according to his will. And the Lord added 15 years to Hezekiah's life. Let's go back to James, this time the first chapter. James, the first chapter. James 1. James 1, and brother, we're going to pick this up at verse 5. James 1, and verse 5. Go ahead.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God.
So now if we lack wisdom, we can ask of God. How do you ask of God? You pray. Asking God for something is called prayer. Go ahead, brother.
That giveth to all men liberally.
Uh-huh.
And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed.
And we understand we have essential things or elements or whatever you want to call them, points, bulletins. There's essential things we have to do to have our prayer heard. We understand that. Okay? But here it is. If you lack wisdom and you want wisdom, it says to ask the Lord for it. Let's go to 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter. Let's get an example of asking for wisdom. 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter. 1 Kings 3. 1 Kings 3, and brother, we're going to start this off in verse 5. 1 Kings 3 and verse 5. When you get there, go ahead and read.
In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon
said, see, he's appearing unto Solomon in a dream, just like the Lord told Aaron and Miriam, in a vision or in a dream. Go ahead, brother.
And Solomon said, thou hast known unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, or shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept him for, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day.
Now it's in a dream by night, and God's talking to Solomon, but notice, Solomon is answering the Lord. It's a dream by night, but Solomon is answering the Lord. He's not answering the Lord in his dream. When you're dreaming, how do you know what to ask for? He's talking to the Lord. This tells me he's praying. It's in a dream by night, but he's actually talking to the Lord. And unable to ask for something, you have to have full control of your faculties. You can't be in sleep in a dream. I don't see, well, maybe you could be. But it doesn't happen that way, sisters and brothers. It's in a dream by night by Solomon. Solomon's getting ready to talk to the Lord, and he's asking the Lord. The Lord's asking him, what can I do for you? And he's talking to the Lord. So this is in prayer and meditation. Go ahead, brother.
That thou hast, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in.
Uh-huh.
And thy servant is in the midst of the people, of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people. They cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude.
Go ahead, brother.
Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad.
And look what Solomon's asking for, an understanding heart that he might judge the people that he was made king over. He could be asking for money. He could be asking for gold. Give me silver. Give me the best looking women. Hey, I want nice robes. I want gold chalices or whatever. He could be asking for anything that a human heart could desire. And he's asking for wisdom. He's a righteous man, trying to run a righteous kingdom like his father did. Go ahead, brother.
For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself a long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked for the life of thine enemies, but hast asked thyself for thyself understanding to discern judgment.
Uh-huh.
Behold, I have done according to thy word.
Look what the Lord says. Behold, I have done according to your words. Because constant thoughts of others and how we might help meet their needs is how the Lord would help us, it would have us conduct ourselves. Not saying we got to go and we got to go to work for the next door neighbor and make sure they're eating and all this. But the opportunity to be of help to others and to let our light shine, that's our main job, our main focus in life, sisters and brothers. That's it. That's our job. Be a light and draw others to our Heavenly Father. And because Solomon asked within the will of God, Look what the Lord did. The Lord answered his prayer, and he's going to give him what he asked for. He's going to give him this wisdom to rule the nation. But the Lord's going to add so much more to him because he wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking of how he could be of help to others. Go ahead, brother.
Well, I've given thee a wise and understanding heart, and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee.
And this is verse 13. Go ahead.
And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days.
And because he asked for what he asked for, so that he could actually be a righteous ruler, and he could be a peacemaker in his kingdom, and he could rule with integrity, look what the Lord did. He added unto him both riches and honor, so that not be any among the kings like unto him all thy days, all his days. Go ahead, brother.
And if thou wilt walk in my ways, keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days.
Now look at this. Go ahead, brother.
And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream.
And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Solomon is praying in his sleep, sisters and brothers. He's in a dream, but he's praying in his sleep. He's talking to God in a dream. Sisters and brothers, there are brothers that I know that have done this, that can do this, that have gotten revelations from God through dreams. And when they have awakened out of their sleep, they said it was so real that it was like they weren't even in a dream. It was like it was really happening. And then when they woke up, they remembered everything explicitly to the detail. That's why I said earlier, he wasn't sleeping. He was actually praying and talking to God. But as you continue, you find out that he was sleeping. And behold, it was a dream. Go ahead, brother.
And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all the servants.
The brother was praying to our Heavenly Father in his sleep. He was getting visions in a dream, and he was communing through the Spirit with our Heavenly Father. Sisters and brothers, this is the power of prayer. I know that I don't receive any messages like this in my dreams, because I've been praying and meditating long enough. I know how I get my revelations from the Spirit. I get it through two-way prayer. I get it through, if it's not two-way prayer, meditating on a particular precept or problem that I have going on and sitting back and listening for guidance. Solomon is in a dream. This is the power of prayer. He's in a dream talking to God. And he gets revelations from God that he knows is absolutely true, and he acts on them. Let's go to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. So we have prayers of the sick. We have praying for wisdom. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5 and brother verse 6, 5 and 6, go ahead.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let's go get an example of someone going in prayer humbly before God. Let's go to Matthew, the 26th chapter. Matthew, the 26th chapter. If you want an example on how to be humble, there's no kind of example like the example of our Messiah. Matthew 26, we're going to read one verse, brother. 26 and verse 35. Verse 39. 26 and 39, go ahead.
And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.
Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Let's go to Mark, the 14th chapter. We're going to read the same thing. Mark 14. Brother, one verse, verse 36. Mark 14 and verse 36. Go ahead.
And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not that I will, but that thou wilt, but what thou wilt.
Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Father, take away this cup from me. But if that's not possible according to your will, then let your will be done. Let's go to Luke, the 22nd chapter. This is humility before our Heavenly Father. Luke, the 22nd chapter. Luke 22. Luke 22, and brother, pick it up at verse 42. 22 and verse 42. Go ahead.
Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. Oh, yeah, well, he was just praying to the Lord, and he said, oh, well, Lord, you know, yeah, okay, I got to show these guys, well, you're not going to let me out of this. Just let your will be done. No, this brother was coming before our Heavenly Father, our Messiah, and he was coming hard, and he was coming bold on that throne. He was getting ready to suffer and die for the sins of the world, and he knew what was going to happen to him. He wasn't just coming, oh, yeah, whatever, yeah, you're not going to let this pass. Just let your will be done then. This brother was in serious affliction. Tell us where you're at. Continue, brother.
43.
Go ahead.
And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthened him.
And an angel from heaven appeared unto him and strengthened him because how distraught he was with what was about to happen. Go ahead and continue.
And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground.
And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Sisters and brothers, this is great humility. Lord, take this from me. Whatever it is that's ailing you, take this from me, Lord. I've casted all my cares upon you, Father. But nonetheless, if this is something that you are not wanting to take from me, then let your will and not my will be done. That's coming humbly before our God. And God answers prayers. Let's start off with King Solomon's prayer. Let's go back to 1 Kings, this time the 8th chapter. 1 Kings 8. We touch on this quite a few times in various lessons that I taught on prayer, since I just got done teaching a bunch of them. But we're actually going to read a little bit here. Let's go to 1 Kings 8. And, brother, let's pick this up at verse 22. 1 Kings 8. And we're going to pick this up at verse 22. Let's look at some of the meat of what Solomon is praying to our Heavenly Father about. 1 Kings 8 and 22. Go ahead.
And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee, in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts.
That walk before thee with all their hearts. Solomon understood. Go ahead, brother.
Who hast kept with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, thou spakest also with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand. As it is this day.
Go ahead, brother.
Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me.
Now you notice he's praying to our Heavenly Father, but you notice he's just talking. He's just, you don't need to go into all of the these and the thous and the those and all this. You don't have to use the English, the old English to pray. You just talk, Heavenly Father. Hey, what's happening, man? I'm really grieved right now, Lord. I really could use some help here, just a little bit of mercy. You know what's going on, but let me just get this off my chest. You just talk to him. You talk. That's what prayer is. It's talking. Tell us where you're at and continue, brother.
Verse 26.
Yes, sir.
And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto my thy servant David, my father.
Uh-huh.
But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have built?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant, and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prays before thee today.
So he's coming humbly before God. You can see he's coming humbly. He's saying, man, I'm trying to build you this house, but what kind of house on earth is going to house you, oh great God? He's coming humbly, and now he's got some supplications that he's throwing up. He's praying. Go ahead, brother.
That thine eyes may be open toward this house, night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make towards this place.
That you will hearken or listen to the prayers which your servant makes unto this place, to this temple. Go ahead, brother.
And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray towards this place.
And hearken to the supplications of your servant to me and to the people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place. That's why most classes, and when we open up here on Blog Talk Radio, Sound of Living Waters Blog Talk Radio, we face the temple, or we face east, which is the most direct route to where the temple stood in Jerusalem. Because the Lord said that he would have his face there continually to all who pray toward that temple. Well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. He said, we're in the prayer. And Solomon said, when I pray toward this temple, or your people Israel. Go ahead and continue, brother. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
And hear thou in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, forgive.
Uh-huh.
If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and thou wilt come before thine altar in this house,
uh-huh,
then hear thou in heaven and do, and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked, to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous to give him according to his righteousness.
So now he says, if any man trespass against his neighbor, not just Israel, any man. Go ahead, brother, verse 33.
Will my people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name and pray, and make supplication unto thee in this house.
So when thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy because they have sinned against you, and they turn and pray toward this house, go ahead.
Then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy people Israel,
uh-huh,
and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers.
Go ahead, brother.
When heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned again against thee, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them,
uh-huh,
then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servant and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance.
So now, Lord, even when your people sin against you and you close up the heavens from raining, and they pray toward this house, hear their prayer and supplication, that prayer is going to also be answered during the reign of Christ. When you got people refusing, because obviously some are going to refuse to come up to keep the feast in Jerusalem, because the Lord has said that all those nations that come not up to keep the feast, he's going to punish them. And one of the things he's going to do, if they continually not come up to keep the feast, is he's not going to give them any rain. There's no supermarkets in this day. You either grow your own food or you're, as they say, SOL. You're out of luck. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 37. If there be in the land of famine, in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be,
uh-huh,
what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hand toward this house, then hear thou in heaven, thy dwelling place, and forgive and do and give mercy and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men.
Notice the one concept that we're seeing here. There's a lot of sin going on here, and it's after sin that they're looking toward the temple and praying. They're repenting. But the bottom line is, he's asking for the Lord to hear their prayers. Of course the Lord doesn't hear the prayers of the wicked. We understand the requirements. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 40. That they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest to our
fathers. Uh-huh.
Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people, Israel.
So now he's getting away from Israel, and Solomon's saying, but not only Israel, Lord, now the stranger that is not of thy people. Go ahead.
But cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake.
Uh-huh.
For they shall hear of thy great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy stretched out arm, when he shall come and pray toward this house.
Brother, we should be honored, Brother Jeremy, because King Solomon was praying for you and I here. And he was asking the Lord in his prayer that when we hear of this great, mighty God of Israel, that when we pray toward that house that he built, he's asking the Lord to hear our prayers. Go ahead and continue.
Verse 43. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth for that to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee, as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have builded is called by thy name.
Solomon's the wisest man that ever lived. He knew the Lord wasn't a respectable person. Go ahead and continue, brother. Verse 44.
If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord
uh-huh.
of the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause.
And notice, Solomon's not just saying any temple over there. He's not saying the third temple. He's not saying a temple of Herod. He's saying the temple that I built, Lord. When we're praying to the temple of Solomon. We're not waiting for the third temple to go up and praying to some where they're banging their heads against the wall or something crazy over there. We're praying to Solomon's temple. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not.
There's that sin again. Solomon knew we were going to be falling short. Go ahead, brother.
And thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near.
Uh-huh.
Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee
uh-huh.
toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name.
And the Lord gave it unto their fathers, but he just didn't let them take possession yet, because it still belongs to the physical nation of Israel. Go ahead, brother.
Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
And forgive thy people, that have sinned against thee, and have all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and gave them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them.
And he's talking about Israel today, sisters and brothers, because it's not about the nation of Israel coming back into power as kings and priests. Not right now. Right now it's individuals, just like in Romans, the 10th chapter. This is about individuals coming. Those nations and that entire nation of Israel will be gathered again, but that'll be at the return of our Messiah, Christ Jesus. Go ahead and continue, brother.
For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron,
uh-huh.
that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call unto thee.
Yes, sir. One more verse.
For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth.
Because, Lord, you separated the nation of Israel from among all the people of the earth. And this is confirmed in the prophet Amos. Go ahead, brother.
To be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God.
So this is the Lord, Solomon, praying to the Lord. And he's built the temple, and he's bringing some prayers, and he's bringing some petitions to God. Let's go to 1 Kings, the 9th chapter. Pick it right up in verse 1, brother. Let's see what the Lord says to Solomon. Go ahead.
And it came to pass, when Solomon had finished the buildings of the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon.
So he's appearing to Solomon the same way he appeared to him at Gibeon, in a dream. Go ahead, brother.
And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually.
And the Lord said, I'm listening to your prayer, and I'm going to give you what you requested. I'm going to keep my eyes on this place, and it's going to be there forever. I'm going to look at this place forever. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 4. And if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fall thee a man upon the throne of Israel.
Go ahead.
But if ye shall be at all turned from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them. And this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proper but a byword among all people.
That's good, brother. So the Lord said, if you look this way and you're walking righteously, I'll hear these prayers. But if not, I'm going to cast you away and you'll be a proverb and a byword among all people. And, of course, we understand that Solomon, toward the end of his reign, went south. The Lord doesn't say whether or not he's going to put him down or whether he's made the kingdom. And that shouldn't be anything that concerns us anyway. But we understand that it's because of Solomon's sin that the nation of Israel got rent in two. And then because of their disobedience later, they got scattered. And they became a proverb and a byword among all people. And this is February. This is Black History Month. And, of course, being Black History Month, you have to go to the Black History book. So you go to the Bible in the month of February. And there's enough classes that are dealing with that. That's for another precept. Let's stick to what we're dealing with here. So the Lord answered Solomon and said, I will keep my eyes here. And if you're walking righteous, or if you're repenting, I'm going to hear those prayers. And I'm going to keep my eye here perpetually and keep my ears here perpetually over this temple that you had built. Let's look at an example of people praying toward the temple. Let's go to Daniel, the 6th chapter. Daniel, the 6th chapter. Daniel 6. Daniel 6. And brother, we're going to read one verse. Daniel 6. And we're going to read verse 10. One verse, Daniel 6 and verse 10. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees there three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime.
So Daniel prayed toward the temple. He understood the prayer that Solomon had made. Let's go to Psalm, the 5th chapter. Psalm, the 5th chapter. Psalm 5. Excuse me. Psalm 5. Psalm 5 and one verse, brother. 5 and 7. Psalm 5 and verse 7. Go ahead.
But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple.
This is a psalm of David. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. David had understanding. Before Solomon even built the temple, David was long gone and buried. But David had understanding about praying to the temple. Let's go to Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Psalm 138, that's not surprising, is it, that David knew about praying to the temple long before Solomon prayed? Not at all. It's not surprising. The Lord doesn't change. He sets things up. He does not change. And what is given to his prophets and his servants? The law and the testimony. And what's sealed up amongst his disciples? The law is sealed amongst his disciples. That's all of us, sisters and brothers, that are trying to walk perfect before him. Psalm 138, one verse, verse 2. Brother, go ahead.
I will worship for thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name.
So they're praying toward the holy temple. Look at some. Let's look at a few other examples real quick of answered prayers. Let's go to Genesis, the 20th chapter. Genesis, the 20th chapter. And we're on the way to wrap this up now. We're going to move through some of these other scriptures rather quickly here. They're, like I like to say, the one and two liners. Genesis 20. And brother, pick it up at verse 17. 20 and 17. Go ahead.
So Abraham prayed unto God.
Uh-huh.
God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservant, and they bare children.
So Abraham, a righteous man, prayed to God about Abimelech and his wife, and God heard his prayer and answered it. Go ahead.
For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife.
And we're not going to get into that. That's for another time. Let's go to Numbers, the 11th chapter. Numbers, the 11th chapter. Well, we'll get into it a little bit. Abraham lied about Sarah being his sister, and he liked to do that a couple times because she was just such a very beautiful woman. He was afraid that somebody would kill him and take her. So anyway, that's the end of that verse there. Let's go to 11, Numbers 11. We want to stay on the precept. Prayer is being answered. Number 11 and verse 2, brother. Numbers 11 and verse 2. Go ahead.
And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched.
And the people cried unto Moses. He was the intercessor. He was walking straight. We know he was because when he went south, the Lord killed him. And he prayed unto the Lord, and the fire was quenched. The Lord heard his prayers. Go over to Numbers, the 21st chapter. Numbers 21, brother, we'll pick this up at verse 6. Numbers 21, and we're going to pick this up at verse 6. Go ahead.
And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, that they bit the people, and much people of Israel died.
Uh-huh.
Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people.
Pray unto the Lord that he take the serpents away from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Go ahead.
And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole.
And the Lord heard Moses' prayer, and now he's going to give the nation of Israel a way out from being bitten by these serpents. Go ahead.
And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.
Uh-huh.
And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived.
They asked Moses to pray. Moses is a righteous man. He takes his prayers and petitions and supplications for the people to the Lord. The Lord hears his prayers. It's in accordance with the Lord's will, and he answers the prayer. Let's go to 1 Samuel, first chapter. 1 Samuel, the first chapter. 1 Samuel 1. First Samuel 1. And brother, let's pick this up at verse 26. 1 Samuel 1 and 26. Go ahead.
And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord.
And this is Samuel's mother, and she's praying unto the Lord. Go ahead.
For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him.
For this child I have prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition which I have asked of him. Go to 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter. Go ahead a few chapters. This is the power of prayer, sisters and brothers. This is one of the parts of the whole armor that we're supposed to take on. 1 Samuel 8, pick it up at verse 6, brother, 8 and 6. Go ahead.
But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us, and Samuel prayed unto the Lord.
So Samuel, he's a servant of the Most High God. He's walking perfect before him. He's a prophet. He speaks to God in prayers and in dreams and in visions. Okay? And when they asked for a king, it displeased Samuel, because he knew the Lord wouldn't be happy about it. But nonetheless, Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Go ahead.
And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them.
And the Lord heard and answered Samuel's prayer, and he told him what to do. He said, listen to the people. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. Nonetheless, give them what they're asking for. He heard Samuel's prayer, and he answered it. Let's go to Acts, the ninth chapter. Acts, the ninth chapter. Acts 9. Acts 9. And brother, pick it up at 39. Acts 9 and verse 39. Go ahead.
When Peter arose and went with them, and when he came, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the windows stood, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them.
Uh-huh.
But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed.
So Peter put them all forth and he kneeled down and he's praying for this dead person. Go ahead, brother.
And turned him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up.
So Peter was praying for her, and he tells her, arise, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up because of Peter's prayer. Go ahead, brother.
And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive.
And he presented her alive to all the saints and the widows. Go ahead.
And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believe in the Lord.
What was known throughout all Joppa? And he just, oh, Peter went and healed this woman. No. What they probably said was, man, you should have seen it. Peter came in, Tabitha was dead. He started praying to the Most High God, and he looked at her and said, Tabitha, arise, and God rose her from the dead. That's what they were probably saying. That's the fame that went out throughout all. That he prayed unto God. God heard his prayers and healed her. Let's go to Acts the 10th chapter. Brother Pickett, right up at verse 1, 10 and 1. Go ahead.
There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always.
So Cornelius was an Italian. He was a Roman soldier. He was a devout man. He feared God with all his house. So far he's got all the requirements for prayer to be heard. And he gave much alms to the people, and he was always praying to God. What faith this was, knowing that it was only for Israel at this time, or everyone thought it was only for Israel at this time. Go ahead, brother.
Which he gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always.
Uh-huh.
He saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius.
Now Cornelius, evidently, gets it in a vision when he's praying to God. You got one brother's getting it in dreams, Solomon. You got another brother who's not even Israel, not physically, and he's getting it in a vision. Go ahead, brother.
And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God.
Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. He's praying to God always, and in a vision, the Lord comes to him and answers him. Let's go back to James, this time the fifth chapter. Let's go to Acts, the 16th chapter first. Acts 16, and we are almost there. We're right there. Acts 16. Brother, pick it up at verse 25. 16 and 25. Go ahead.
And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the priests. And the prisoners heard them.
Now, Paul and Silas, they were out there preaching, and they got the beat out of them and got thrown in prison. And it's about midnight. They're praying. Go ahead, brother.
And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose.
And the Lord heard their prayers. The Lord heard their prayers. And he answered them. Now, James, the fifth chapter. James, the fifth chapter. I caught myself. That don't count. Normally, every lesson, I go ahead and slip up, but I caught myself. That don't count.
Hey,
James 5. Brother, one verse, verse 17, 5 and 17. Go ahead.
Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain.
So Elijah was a man subject to passions just like, in other words, he was human. He had temptations. He liked certain things and certain things he didn't. And there were certain things that would nag and pull and draw on him that he knew he couldn't go there. That was the old man. Go ahead, brother.
And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months.
And what happened when he prayed again? Verse 18.
And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit.
Another example of a brother that's righteous having prayers that are prayed the right way answered. When I say prayed the right way, you've got certain requirements. We understand it. You have to be walking righteous. You have to believe in what you're praying for. You have to pray in the name of our Messiah. I don't know how they prayed in the Old Testament. It doesn't say. They just prayed to God. But we know under the New Covenant, we have to pray in Jesus' name or pray through our Messiah to our Heavenly Father. Let's go to the last place. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, and this will be it. 2 Thessalonians 1. 2 Thessalonians 1. And brother, pick this up at verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. When you get there, go ahead and read. It's right at the Colossians.
Oh, it's just right there, too.
This used to, for years this used to be at me. I'm sorry, Brother Joe.
Said I'm right there with you.
Okay. 2 Thessalonians 1. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. Go ahead.
We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth.
And the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. In other words, all this fervent love that the brethren are supposed to have. Go ahead, brother.
So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure.
So they glory in you and the churches of God. They're praising God for these brethren. They're throwing up petitions and supplications for these brethren. Go ahead.
Verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer.
Uh-huh.
Seeing it is a righteous thing with God, no recompense, or to recompense the tribulation to them that trouble you.
Go ahead.
And to you, who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
So now he's just reminding them that they got to endure, that they need to stand in the gap, they need to be strong. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power.
Uh-huh.
When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day.
Because our testimony among you was believed. In other words, they came teaching. These brothers listened, they heard it, they proved it, and they came into the faith. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling.
Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. Go ahead.
And fulfill all the good pleasures of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and in ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ.
So, sisters and brothers, what we have here is we have righteous people, and again, we understand, we've had the lessons, we've had them so many times, we probably recite things in our sleep when it comes to prayer, about fasting and praying toward the temple and the different requirements for prayer to be heard and all that. We understand this, sisters and brothers. This lesson today, what I wanted to convey to some of us was the actual power, the results behind the prayer. And we cited several different brethren that when praying to the Lord had their prayers answered. We cited different reasons why we pray. We're afflicted. We're sick. We're seeking knowledge. We're seeking wisdom and understanding. So there's different reasons why we pray. We fast and pray. We don't have to have our prayers heard. But that wasn't part of the lesson today because it wasn't really on the requirements. It was just to hopefully edify, to show that prayer actually does really work. So sisters and brothers, I thank you for the opportunity to rightly divide God's word. And I hope somebody got something from these scriptures.
Amen, brothers.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Paul, you know, for years, man, I was reading that, I was reading the Prayer of Solomon when he was talking to God in his dream. And the scenario was always fascinating to me, and I was like, what's going on here? What am I missing? But something is tripping because I couldn't put my finger on it, and you just nailed it. He was praying to God inside of his dream, not behaving himself in his dream, not performing righteous works in his dream, but he was praying to God in his dream. That's phenomenal. You know, it's one thing, you know, when you have your body under subjection and you're actually performing works in your dream. You're actually mentally conscious to perform righteousness through your dream. But to have the presence of mind to pray in your dream to God, that was phenomenal. That's a phenomenal case. And the other thing was, and I was the thing with Hannah, when the Father allowed you to deal with that and bring it forth, what was a breakthrough. You know, when you're looking for prayer and breakthrough, we call them breakthroughs nowadays. She was praying for a child, but the thing was with Hannah, when you read that Samuel, this what made it a breakthrough. And I'm glad the Father allows you to bring that around. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 1. And And it says this, wait a minute, I'm going to pick it up in verse 12. It says, and it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth, right? Now, Eli is the high priest. And the Ark of the Covenant was with Israel during this time. He said this, now Hannah spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. See, the breakthrough was she never spoke out her prayer for the devils to imitate it. This breakthrough was going to be from God and God only, because he's the only one that can read minds. So when she was before Eli, she was in his presence. Of course, he couldn't, you know what she was praying, because that was between her and God. You notice how the priest didn't demand to be the intercessor. He allowed that thing to be for what it is, because that was between her and God. He didn't intercede in that. And then he goes in. What did he say? He said, verse 14, Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid as a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel, grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. There goes Samuel. That's the breakthrough. She got an answer right then and there. And then, of course, she had conceived. Great lesson, bro. Loved it.
Praise God, brother.
Man, wonderful. I yield the mic. Hello?
Peace, brother.
Hey, what's going on? Brother Paul? It's Brother Isaiah, man. Hey, man, that was a tight lesson. You know, definitely when it comes to that praying, man. You know, definitely with the East. And, you know, and definitely those that's, you know, definitely those that's, excuse me. Definitely those that's trying to walk in righteousness. You know, like for example, you know, like me, for example. You know, just praying to get my daughter. You know, it happened instantly. You know, praise God, you know, and definitely just seeing how things ought to be done when you're praying to the East, you know, or just definitely praying in general. You know, I like how you brought the whole thing, you know, I mean, not all my prayers, excuse me, have been answered, you know, but a lot of them have been answered, you know, and just trying to fight this flesh and to do the best you can. We always need prayer and meditation, and definitely the fast. I think I need to pick up another fast pretty soon myself. But in all, how you brought that lesson, I thought it was an awesome lesson, bro, and I get a mic with that.
Praise be to God, brother. Anybody else? Questions, comments? Okay. Sisters and brothers, I don't apologize for anything that I get from the Lord. I was not real happy when I was dealing with prayer again after dealing with it for so many weeks in a row, but the Lord wanted me to bring this forth, and when I get something in prayer meditation, to the best of my ability, I try to be obedient in it and praise God in Jesus' name. Just stay prayerful, sisters and brothers. Stay prayerful. Make sure you're walking straight. Make sure that you're doing everything possible to hear those prayers, have those prayers heard. And, of course, if you start falling short, the Lord will definitely smack you over the back of the head and have you put that mirror back up. But stay prayerful. Pray for me. Pray for all the brethren. See how you pray, how you can be of help to people that still suffer. In other words, those that are not saints, that are not taking hold of the covenant yet. And great things will come to pass, sisters and brothers. So, again, I thank you for this opportunity, and it was, as always, a pleasure and an honor to stand before you on Sunday night, and I'm going to go ahead and yield the mic and give it back to Brother Joe.
Amen. Amen, Brother Paul. Great lesson. I'm glad the Father did urge you to get back to this prayer and meditation and prayer breakthrough. Because I believe tonight I got more out of this lesson than all of them.
Praise God.
Yeah. You know, not to take anything away from the previous lessons, but I think my spirit received more tonight than, maybe it was because it was leading up to this. I don't know. But I got more out of this. And that thing with Solomon was phenomenal, man. I never heard anybody deal with that. I never seen anybody present that in that package ever. That was a real revelation.
I have a testimony.
Shalom.
Shalom. I have a testimony really quick. I believe in the power of prayer in Jesus' name. We pray daily, but this testimony, do you remember this? A couple of years ago, there was a baby in the hospital, and one of our children passed. And remember, the doctor told the family to come up there because the baby only had a couple of hours to live. The baby was about to die due to some affliction. I forgot what's wrong. So you couldn't make it. Remember, you had to go to work, but they asked you to come up there for the baby.
So I tell you, daughter,
I said she was about to, you know, pass away, the doctor said. So all the entire family up there. So you told me, you prayed over me, and you anointed the oil, and then you told me to go to the hospital, and you told me to have faith and pray over the baby and take the baby's clothes off, rub the baby down with the oil, and to pray with the family and also just let them know, just in case, you know, we pray, we have faith, we believe in God, but also believe that if it were to turn out the other way, that she passed away, that the Lord is going to see the oil, the anointing oil on this child, on the baby, and that the baby will raise up with the father. So I did that. You told me to go in your place, remember?
Yes, ma'am. I remember that moment.
Then I was there. The doctors were rude. They were telling the family that basically, yeah, they were talking to the mother crazy, like, your baby's about to die, so prepare yourself. Well, after I went in there, she said, I don't pray, I don't go to church, but she let me pray over the baby. She said, whatever, I don't care no more, whatever it was. I did it. The next morning, we got a call and said that the baby condition changed, and she actually is alive. She lived in what, 4 years old now?
Amen.
Is she four? Someone saw her at the birthday party. Yeah. So the power of prayer, that's something else. I'm a witness, we're witnesses. We have seen the oil raise people from the dead. Remember that?
Yeah, you know, I just don't, you know, I don't like to talk about.
No, you're not. I'm giving the testimony. I'm giving the Lord grace. I know that was, you know, the power of prayer. It's a serious thing.
Yes, 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 and yes, and that child is with us today. And looking like she's, if God willing, we all live and he returns, she's going to be around at the kingdom, at the coming of the kingdom. So she is here to stay.
Praise to God.
Yeah. So thank you for recovering that story and, you know, bringing us back to the power of prayer that, you know, if you pray for those that are weak, in the faith or sick, you know, or shut in, then you could pray that that they bonds be broken.
Amen.
Yeah. In the course in Jesus. So with all of that being said, man, it's your faith. That's the whole thing. Christ said, your faith have saved you. Your faith have saved your child. You know, you don't necessarily have to be there. You know, you can just, the petition is enough. The lady asked for deliverance for a child. She just didn't go see the baby. He just said, your faith delivered it. You don't necessarily have to go. Like Paul just gave people ribbons and they cast out devils and healed people. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's part of the work. That's part of the administration of the Spirit. Sometimes you don't have to go.
Amen.
That's all administration of the Spirit. That's when the Lord got that anointing out there like that. You know, you got to believe that he still operates that way. If you don't believe he's in a healing business, then he's not going to heal your business. You gotta have faith. So with that being said, go thank everybody for your time. Paul, thank you for bringing me back to remembrance of that scripture, and I thank the Father for giving you the answer of my soul. And I've been reading that for years, and I'm like, what am I looking at here? And you gave it to me tonight. Praise God.
Praise God.
Thank you for that. Amen. And we'll be back here again Tuesday night. Philadelphia Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
Please keep your brother Bob Farley. Forgive me for calling you Bob, man, but Spirit, you know, you got access to one Spirit. I'm sure you know where I'm at.
Amen.
Let's continue lifting them up in prayer for strength. And, amen, so you can, you know, enlighten us and keep us. Feeding the flock. Feeding the flock. God, right? right. Well, that's here Tuesday night at 7 o'clock p.m. I'm going to be here for that, for the Philadelphia Assemblies with Bob Fox. So with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of the Living Waters, do what?
Read the book.
Read your Bible.
Read your Bibles, people.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.